I can get you gentlemen just to say this information to start us off, okay?
I'm Pharaoh Allen.
Just a minute.
I am Pharaoh Allen. I am 80 years old, and today is September 18th, 2022, and we are here in Atlanta, Georgia. And my relationship,
colleagues.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Your relationship with him.
Oh, we are both descendants of the 1906 race massacre, and that's how we came together.
My name's Ralph Baker, 70 years old. Today's September the 18th. We're here in Atlanta, and my relationship to the Atlanta massacre was my great uncle was Jesse Maxwell Barber.
Gentlemen, you all are both descendants from people who were participants and who were harmed in the 1906 race massacre in Atlanta. And a lot of people don't even realize that there was a race riot in Atlanta. So I want to ask you, did you know about this your whole life? Was it something the family talked about? Or do you remember, you know, when and how you came to find out this part of your family's history? Mr. Allen.
Yes, my mother, in fact, what I am, I'm the grandson of Luther Judson Price, who was the postmaster of South Atlanta back at the turn of the century, right on through the early 1900s. My mother used to tell the story about the riots. She had written it down and so that the history of it and her memory, because she was not even alive when she was born about 2 years after the race massacre occurred, but she had written it all down and spoke to me about it, not frequently, but when it came up, she was very clear about what had happened with my grandpa Price.
And do you remember how old you were when you first became aware of the story?
I would guess I was probably about 10 or 11, but more importantly, when I was about 12, Luther Judson Price High School was built and dedicated to my grandfather, and I and my mother flew down to Atlanta, first time I'd been on an airplane, and for the dedication ceremony where I was charged with unveiling his portrait. But at that point, I really knew what was going on in Atlanta and around the race riot and massacre.
And you, what was your relationship to the story? Was it something that was talked about in your family? Did you know it? How did you come to find out about it? And do you remember learning the history?
Well, I'm really a novice at this in the sense that I knew my great uncles worked with us in the civil rights movement. However, I just found out about this. I've heard of the other racial disturbances in Tulsa and Rosewood. Never heard of the Atlanta massacre in 1906. I don't know whether it was just one of those things that the family just buried behind it, because my great uncle was the publisher of the Atlanta Voice here. And he was literally run out of town. He had worked with W.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, and they had an agreement with the city at that time to kind of bury the riot and push it aside, and he refused to and just kept writing and publishing about it and wrote a paper, Man's Inhumanity to Man, which I'm just finding all this out in the last 5 weeks when they reached out from Emory University and contacted me. So it's definitely been a learning experience. I've learned more about my family in the last 72 hours than I have in 70 years. So,
and I would think that that's interesting because you're saying that your grandfather was in the media, so there is a record of what he had written about this event. What do you think of that?
Again, it was something that the family never discussed. I mean, he was a founder of the Niagara Movement. The John Brown Society, we know all that information. He was in Chicago and in Philadelphia, where he finally resided, became a dentist there. But this was something that was just never discussed whatsoever. And I have some of his manuscripts and original writings and papers, but nothing dealing with the Atlanta massacre until I got here. And received some of his work that he wrote on The Man and Humanity to Man, discussing the riots, which that publication was the thing that forced him to leave for his own safety.
And now you mentioned coming down for the dedication, and Price High School, or Price Middle School, I think it is now.
High school, but then, yeah, middle school. Now.
Still exists. So do you think that is a lasting legacy? Is that enough, or do you think there should be more done around what happened?
Well, I think a lot is being done just to bring this history back into the forefront so that people know about it. My grandmother, Mrs. Price, actually lived with us from probably back in the late 1940s until she died, I think, in 1954. But I think a tremendous amount of effort for the coalition is being put into bringing this piece of history back to the forefront so that people now will know what happened and hopefully can never let it happen again, even though I think of the January 6th and wonder, have we really gotten very far?
And now your family, you came back for the dedication. Did your family leave this area after the riots? What happened to your family after your grandfather's death?
Well, my grandfather, my grandmother stayed in Atlanta. I'm sure, I don't know exactly how, I think probably when my grandfather died, which I think was about 1936, 37, somewhere in that period. But what did happen is all the children left. My mother, being the youngest, came to New York to live with her sister Helen, who was already in New York, so she could go to high school and get a good high school diploma, or get her high school degree, so that she could actually go on and go to a good college and move on. She could not apparently get a high school education in Atlanta at that time as a black person.
And now you mentioned that your family member, your grandfather, was forced out of the city and ended up in Chicago?
Yes.
So what was that like? And did you have any family left here, or did everybody take that as a sign we ought to all get out?
We're still researching that because the work through Emory University has put together the family lineage on that side of the family, which, again, I didn't know anything about. Where it stands now, like I said, this is all new to me. I plan on continuing. They've gave me enough documentation and material to, you know, keep pursuing and getting this information. And I just wish other family members were alive now to see what a great person he was and the things that he had achieved here in Atlanta.
And now this was your grandfather, and I know people think these things happened so, you know, long ago, black and white photography. It must have been, you know, 1,000 years ago, and it really isn't. It's your grandfather. What about your descendants? What about your children? How do you share this story with them? Do you share this story with them?
Well, I do have a daughter who's 31, and I have a granddaughter. My intentions, once I get back home, I'll be sharing all this information. Again, this was just came about four or five weeks ago. They've been looking for me for quite some time, but it was one of the research assistants over at Emory who was able to find me through her research, and they contacted me. So, again, it's something new, but it's something I'll definitely be sharing with my family.
And how do you share this? Because this is, I know this is history, but this is kind of devastating history. So how do you share this, especially you're saying your granddaughter, how do you explain that Atlanta, that people call, you know, the Mecca, the city too busy to hate, that their history involves one of the biggest incidents of hate, probably in the state of Georgia?
Well, I think just a lot of the documentation, a lot of the work that I've done since I've been here, I've been to multiple sites here and information I've gathered, and it'll just be an open discussion, especially consider, like Farrell mentioned, the political situation here in America right now, how it's almost repeating itself again to some degree. So I'm going to try to relate it to what happened then to what's currently going on in the political environment.
And Farrell, you mentioned, you know, January 6th, and you mentioned in 1906 not being able to get educated as a black woman in the South, in Atlanta. How do you share this story? This has been a part of your life at least since you were 12. Do you share this story? How do you share this story? And what kind of reaction do you get from, you know, from your progeny?
Unfortunately, we have no progeny. My wife and I don't have any children at this point. We probably won't. But we have shared it with a lot of friends. And when I say friends, I'm thinking of mostly white friends that we have in North Carolina and Asheville who have not heard about this at all, if had it not been for us. In fact, I was down here in 2006 when this first came about in the public and for the commemoration then. And so I have been talking about it for quite a while to people that we know, and they're all quite fascinated with it and interested and enlightened by what I've been able to share with them about the commemoration events and what we've learned about it.
And so, gentlemen, as you continue to learn more about this story, you know, what do you want the world to know about, you know, what this means, not just to you, your family, but to our, you know, the human family? What do you want the world to know about this experience of having this history?
Well, there's so many things that are so reminiscent in today. When I learned how the newspaper media had influenced and fomented this kind of anxiety and anger among white people, literally made it up, and I think that this is still happening today. And how do we let people know that you know to try to follow the facts and learn the truth before they, you know, jump off into this kind of madness? But I really don't know beyond that what we can do, but except to let people know what happened and why it happened and hopefully how to avoid it in the future. Although it doesn't seem, you know, looking at the way things have been, that as a culture we've learned that much.
So, I mean, we are talking about what's going on today versus what went on, you know, over 100 years ago. And it seems like we take, 10 steps forward and maybe 9 steps back. What do you want people to know in the future about, you know, having something like this in your history? And you mentioned you knew about Tulsa, you know, you kind of heard about Rosewood. But a lot of people would find it hard to believe that something like this happened in Atlanta, the birthplace pretty much of the modern civil rights movement. So what does this mean to the future of your family and future stories?
I mean, I would hope that somewhere along the line, and I think some people here are working on having maybe a documentary of it, I was educated at Fisk University in Nashville, and so close to Atlanta, never discussed. I have friends who are actually from Atlanta, who've been born and raised here, who knew nothing about the massacre itself either. So I think just more and more awareness. Unfortunately, the way some of the political situations are right now, where black history is being pushed back with the rumor of critical race theory, and where they're trying to really suppress the truth or whitewash the truth of the history of black Americans here in America. And so I think it needs to be something taught academically, even though critical race theory is theoretically taught only in the law school level, but it's something that probably needs to be taught even at a lot earlier stage in education.
And Mr. Allen, why do you think it's so much easier to believe the myths around our history than the truth?
I don't know why that's so. I mean, people want to believe what they want to believe, but I think it's sort of built in. It's hard to, if someone's brought up in a family that believes in segregation or believes that black people or any other people that are darker than they are inferior, That's hard not to pass that on to your children. I think it's just serious public education is the answer, and I think I don't know otherwise how we could change that. By the way, Ralph, my mother's a Fiskite. Yeah. So, but I think education is the key. Serious, good, well-rounded education is the only way to sort of put an end to this.
And Ralph, what do you think? Why is it so much easier to believe, you know, the myths about moonlight and magnolia, and you know, happy people to be enslaved or to be colonized? You know, these questions continue to come up, you know, with the Queen's death, all of the questions around colonization, all of these questions around enslavement and indentured servants. We've got governors whose great-grandparents were immigrants, yeah, sending immigrants out of their state. You know, it's almost kind of like Wacky World. But what do you think? What has to happen to kind of break through those myths?
To be honest, I really don't know. I mean, it's not just an American thing. It's something that's global. You mentioned England. You know, they said the sun never set on the English Empire. And I've only seen one media station, cable network, that covers the fact that they had probably 21 different colonies, which they ruled throughout the world, whether it was Asia, Africa, South America, the Caribbean. And it seems like the history has always just been distorted. And I don't know whether it's a matter of shame or a matter of economics to change the truth, because I think if more people knew the truth, as they're saying now, I think even with the death of the Queen, how many of these different colonies they have now are deciding to split away from England and becoming republics. And I think we're going to see the monarchy probably dissolve pretty much over the next couple of years. But again, it's I don't want to say white privilege, white supremacy, but it just seems something on a global level that's whether it's people of color in most cases, where everything's been suppressed and just hidden,
which makes it even harder to believe the truth when the truth is exposed. So,
you know, I just thinking about this, I've been sounding very negative, but I've been thinking back when I was in high school in the 50s and had white girlfriends, and how it was dealt with the school. And I was in a very progressive school, and the parents who were over there were very progressive and very polite, but made it very clear that they would not cherish having me as a son-in-law. And they were very clear and blatant about it, as much as saying, "But we still love you, and we, you know, do what you want to do, but not, don't marry our daughter." And then I think now, just walking through the streets of Atlanta and Asheville, living in the South, where I never thought I would be, interracial marriage, intermarriage couples not even get a second look anymore. And so I think, truthfully, things have changed. And you think about the gay community, a lot has changed, and it's not going to go back, even though there are groups of people who want to push it back and reverse it. I think maybe a lot of these things are here to stay, and in terms of, like, as I said, with interracial marriage, interracial couples, and gay and lesbian type relationships are here to stay. And so I think we have made progress. Hopefully we can keep it.
And that leads me right to the next question. What does the future hold? What do you see as the future, as we start to uncover some of this history, uncover some of our past? Does that lead to a brighter future?
I would hope so, but at the same time, here I get kind of negative again. You look around, and there's no reason to believe it would do anything, unfortunately.
And Ralph?
I think some change is being brought about, and I was just thinking of an example where institutions of higher education who benefited from slavery, instance in Georgetown, where they actually recognized and paid reparations back to the descendants of the slaves that practically built Georgetown University. I think Emory has done something, and I think the institutions of higher education and also a lot of various industries that benefited from slavery, who've acknowledged the fact that they made their profits that they're living off today through slavery, are giving back to the, whether it's not financially reparations, but various programs to help support the black race.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share with me today. I know this was quick. I wanted to talk to you longer, and maybe in the future we can do that. But I do want to thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you for asking us to take the time. We enjoyed it speaking with you.
Yes, thank you again. It's been quite an experience here for myself, definitely a learning experience.
I can't even imagine learning about this, you know, just weeks ago, about all of this history. I can't even imagine, what you're thinking. And I'm sure what you're thinking now is going to be different what you're thinking 6 months after you've had a chance to kind of sit with it.
Yes, without a question. And I plan on moving forward with every event that they have. I know they're doing some things next week. I wish I could have stayed longer. I've been here since Thursday, but I plan on making myself personally involved with the movement going forward.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.